All right, let's just get the ball rolling, because... God damn. Oh, good morning, children. It's 07:45 hours, Monday morning. I gotta knock this out, get this up on the podcast, because I gotta go into Weyland-Yutani today, because we were supposed to have today off, because we're gonna be working Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We were supposed to have today off, but people can't get their shit together, and now I have to go and fucking work on my fucking day off when I was going to podcast. I hate other people. Really fucking hate them. You can scream and shout with all your might. And you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Plus, as icing on the cake, you can go fuck yourself. Alright. And refilling the Alice in Wonderland coffee mug. Do a little stretchy warm-ups here as we get ready to go down the path of bitch slapping the fuck out of some people. Because there are some people who need to have the shit bitch slapped out of them. Like the people I work with. Goddamn. By the way, Generation Z has now entered the workplace. Over at Weyland-Yutani, we have two members of Generation Z working for us. And I'm here to tell you that Generation Z, they are not the saviors. They are not the new messiahs. Oh, there's fuck. These are two of the girliest little boys I've ever seen in my life. Even the one who is more physically fit and can lift heavy objects, even he is just as fucking girly as you can fucking be. I swear to God, between the two of them, I bet their testosterone count doesn't add up to 500. Yeah, we're fucked. Anyway, welcome. Welcome, friends and enemies, as I get my shit together and wake up to Stating the Obvious podcast from the Cynical Libertarian Society, featuring the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 13 years. Yeah. And you can send me email. You can send it to God. That's dog spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com. On the interweb, some on the Twitterverse and the gab.ai. At CYNLIBSOC. Before I forget, thank you to those of you who have spent money over at cls.link/Amazon through the Amazon affiliate. I got the payout. I appreciate it. I'm very grateful. Those of you who have not spent money over at Amazon through my affiliate, go fuck yourselves. I hate you. And yeah, I hope you get an ear infection from listening to this podcast. What else? What else is there? It's Generation Z sucks. Okay, thank you for giving me money. I'm the great one. Oh yeah! It's June. It's still June. And June is Worthless Degree Awareness Month. I wonder what we're going to talk about today. Or if it has anything to do with worthless degrees. It could be. It may be. It could be related somehow or another. Speaking of that, I remember Worthless Degree Awareness Month was founded by Aaron Cleary, and I remember him talking somewhere in a video or a podcast or something. It's all the same. There's so much Aaron Clary media empire out there. It's just him going blah, blah, blah all the fucking time. And it's just, yeah, all it is Clary, Clary, Clary. He's got the fucking videos. He's got the podcast. He's got a blog. And he writes books. And it's like, I am Aaron Clary. I wrote it. It's just Clary, Clary, Clary all the fucking time. So somewhere amongst all of the Clary media empire that for some reason I keep listening to, I can't figure it out. He was talking about how he was considering moving Worthless Degree Awareness Month from June to May. And I think his reasoning was because there's people, more people graduating in May or something like that. I don't know. I just remember hearing him say this in passing. I don't have to worry about him actually doing it because Aaron Clary has no hustle whatsoever. So it's not like he's going to do anything about it. I think June is the perfect month for Worthless Degree Awareness. And here's why. Now, I don't know about where you are, but where I am here in the Soviet sector in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, the graduation, the college graduation, does happen in May. And so the college graduates, they're all there and they're graduating and they've been there 5 years to get their 4-year degree and they're all happy and they throw their little hats in the air and their parents all come down and take them out to dinner because they can't afford to take their parents out to dinner. And they're filled with joy and hope and sunshine because now they've got that college diploma. Now they're going to go forth into the world and they're going to save the environment. They're going to fix homelessness. They're going to get Donald Trump impeached, right? You know, they're going to do all these things that they can't shut up about. We're the millennials and we're the smartest generation ever. And then May comes to an end, and you slide into June the 1st. And they've got the hope. They're still feeling good. You know, they've sent out some applications. They've been on LinkedIn. You know, they've been filling out shit on the internet, job applications and stuff. And, I got my diploma, and they're feeling good about themselves. And June the 15th comes around, and the train is coming down the tracks towards them. Can you hear it? Do you hear the train? There's June the 15th and they're standing on the railroad tracks and the train is coming right at them, but they're thinking, oh, no, it's going to be okay. I have a college diploma. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a good job and I'm going to be able to pay off my student loan. And then June the 20th comes and the train's a little bit closer. The headlight on the train, it's a little bit brighter. And like, oh, no, I'm going to get a job. I've got a diploma. I got my degree in sociology with a minor in women's studies. I know some corporation is going to hire me to be the CEO anytime now. And then, it's June the 30th. And they're still working at Starbucks. Part-time, and the student loan payment is due. It's like, here comes the bill, and they're like, oh my God, I this is as much money as I make in the entire month. See, and that's why I think June is the perfect month for Worthless Degree Awareness. Because when June 1st happens, everything's bright and sunshiny, right? You've got this great future ahead of you as CEO of a corporation who's, they'll be calling you any minute. You went to college. I mean, you're a millennial. You know everything. June the 30th, the train has smacked you. You are laying on the railroad tracks. As the freight train passes over you, bloodied, bruised, working part-time at Starbucks, and realizing, hey, maybe my future is going to be empty. Maybe my degree is worthless. Reader's Digest. What does this tell me anything at all? December 17th issue. December 17th. Good God. December 2017 issue of Large Print Reader's Digest. Got that out finally. Whew. That's what she said. Is what I am reading to you from. There's a series of pictures here. It's a grid. 1, 2, 3, 5 by 5. It's 25 pictures of people, little headshots. And under it is a number, which is presumably the amount of student debt they owe. Now, I don't know if these are like real people and this is really their amount of debt, or if these are just stock photos and made up numbers. But the girl who owes $173,000 is kind of cute. Here we go, guys. Some 44 million Americans owe $1.4 trillion in college loans. That's certainly bad news for the next generation. Now, of course, you statists know that all of that debt that all the people owe for the federal budget, for the federal debt, for the government. Now, that's not bad news, right? The government can just run deficits as much as it wants to, and that's not a big deal. But of course, now the student loan, now that's bad news. That's certainly bad news for the next generation and for some older folks, too. Who's getting rich while borrowers struggle? The student debt racket. Wait, you mean somebody's making money off of all these student loans? Now, before we even read this, let me remind you, what has the fucking great one explained to you before? Because none of this is rocket science. Student loans. Okay, here's what they are. You've got these banks. The banks give the loan to the student. Okay, so there's no money. There is no money. The student comes and says, I want to borrow some money. Okay, so the bank just says, okay, we're going to loan you the money. They take the money. They give it to the college. So the college just made a bunch of money, which didn't really exist. Because once again, if you take out a student loan for $20,000, okay, the bank doesn't give you $20,000 in cash. The bank doesn't have this $20,000. This $20,000 you just borrowed, it's just fucking digits on a goddamn computer hard drive. But then the bank gives this $20,000 that was just invented when you borrowed it to the college. Now the college has $20,000 and they spend it. And then eventually when you pay the bank back, the bank is getting some money and some interest. How does anyone not know this? The fact that we have to have this whole article in Reader's Digest about the fact that people are making a profit on student loans tells us how incredibly stupid the average person is when it comes to finances. And of course, this is why we should have democracy, because people this stupid should be making political, social, economic, philosophical decisions about the political process of the United States, which affects everyone in the country and, in fact, to an extent, every human on the entire fucking planet Earth. Yes, if only we just get more stupid people voting, that's the solution. We need more democracy. In the summer of 2010, Saul Newton was a 20-year-old rifleman stationed in the U.S. Army outpost in the remote, dangerous Arbagan River Valley in Afghanistan. Now, of course, all the money we're spending to send people to Afghanistan to shoot Muslims, see, not a problem there. That's not a, what do we have over here? What was the phrase? Bad news for the next generation. See, that's not bad news for the next generation. No, of course not. Military expenditures. Anyone remember the days when Democrats were anti-war? I vaguely remember that. Ah. It was a radical change for a kid. Hold on, I gotta pour more coffee. Just fucking bear with it, guys. cranky as I am, you're lucky you're getting a podcast. And then I got a fucking bike halfway across fucking town to pick up. Anyway, it does, I just, you don't want to hear me bitching about work. I'll bitch about Weyland-Yutani later. All right. It was a radical change for a kid from suburban Milwaukee who only months before had been a student at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. But after 2 years of tuition hikes, Newton found himself with about $10,000 in federal student loans and the prospect of borrowing still more if he stayed in school. Quote, "I couldn't afford it anymore," unquote, he says. He dropped out and enlisted, hoping to go back to school one day with financial help from the GI Bill. And then he went off to fight the Taliban. But no matter what he faced in Afghanistan, once a month, Newton says, he went to the wooden shack on the outpost where the unit kept a laptop computer. That's where he made his monthly $100 student loan payment. Because apparently he's never heard of auto withdrawal or something. I don't know. He worried that if he didn't pay his loans on time, his credit would never recover. The government offers student loan deferments to active soldiers in wartime, but Newton wasn't aware of that. Well, how could Newton not be aware of that? Isn't Newton a millennial? Aren't they the smartest generation ever? Don't they know how to use Google? Did you ever think to Google for that, Newton? Great, and so this is the intelligence level of the persons who are defending our freedom in Afghanistan, right? Because that's, of course, what the military is doing in Afghanistan. Well, they're fighting for our freedom. Because those Afghanis, if we weren't over there shooting at them, those Afghanis, they'd come over to the United States and they'd invade us and why, they'd enslave all of us. Yeah, those Afghanis, they're really fucking terrifying. I know, I'm very, very concerned about my freedom and the threat posed to it by the people of Afghanistan. Today, back home, and the executive director of the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce. You know, and just because it's about veterans doesn't mean it's not a made-up job. There's a fucking made-up job. He has just made his last loan payment. However, reaching that milestone hasn't made Newton any more optimistic about the choices other young people face, especially given the steadily rising cost of college combined with many states' deep cuts to their education programs. Quote, "You shouldn't have to go to war to get a college education," he says. I wonder what his degree is in. They didn't mention that. It's probably something worthless. I'd look him up, but I don't have time. Or do I? Hang on. Let me try. Fuck. Come on, computer. Work with me here. I was looking some other stuff up right before I started recording. That's what you heard me laughing about at the beginning. There's this chick who tried to sue. I wasn't going to cover it, but now I may have to talk about it. It's this professor at CSU. She thinks she was sexually harassed, and the judge found she wasn't, and of course she doesn't like that. There's going to be way too many Saul Newtons. Yeah, we don't have time for this. Not a chance. Almost everyone knows someone like Newton. Someone up to his neck in student loan payments. Yeah, gee, we all know people who have student loan payments they can't make. I wonder if this could be indicating that maybe, and yet people keep taking out student loans. The warning signs are all around you. When you go into Starbucks and you see the people working there and they're 28 years old and they've been working there they've been working there for 5 years and their diploma is the same one that you're trying to get right now, guy, there's warning signs all around you. There's an entire month, June, dedicated to bringing awareness to the consequences of worthless degrees. Okay? There's a book, Worthless, The Young Person's Indispensable Guide to Choosing a College Major or whatever the fuck it is. You can find it, right? If you go to cls.link/Amazon, boom, you're right there on the Amazon of the .com. And you just up at the top in the little search bar, you type in Worthless, Aaron Clary. There's two A's in Aaron. You hit enter. It's going to take, and you can buy the book. And it will explain all the work. And there's all these people wandering around as fucking bartenders, baristas, waiters, waitresses, grocery store clerks. And you can't even call them bartenders. The people who work in the breweries, because bartenders can actually mix drinks. The people who just pour beers at the brewery. Remember the podcast where I told you about how I went to the brewery? They had the TV and they were flashing all the bartenders. They're not really bartenders. I don't know what to even fucking call them. Beer pourers. They're beer tenders. Beer tenders. That's what they are. They got the pictures of all the beer tenders and their name. And then it tells you about them and it tells you what their college diploma is. Right. And I wrote down the list of all the diplomas that the beer tenders have. It's like, guys, if you're going to school to get a degree in something that your beer tender has a degree in, and your beer tender is working as a beer tender, not in that field, that might be an indicator that you are getting a worthless degree. The signs are fucking everywhere. The train is coming down the tracks straight towards you. It's blowing the whistle. The light is on. You know, you got people all around you telling you, hey, man, there's a train coming, right? The barista at Starbucks is telling you, there's this train coming at you. And your beer tender is like, you know, there's this train coming at you. You got Aaron Clary over there. He's like, hey, I'll tell you, there's a train coming at you, but it's going to cost you $35 because I don't fuck for free. And you got the great one making fun of you on his podcast. All of us are standing around telling you there's a fucking train coming. But oh, shit, no, because see, you're going to be different. You're going to get a diploma in women's studies and you're going to change the world because you're a fucking snowflake. And also because you've bought into the credentialism. We talked about this at the beginning of the month. The credentialism where credentialism is not needed. Okay? The chick who's getting a fucking diploma in artist management, there's no reason to have a college education to do that. None. You do not need to go to college to do that, right? The girl who got a degree in biology so she could play with baby animals, you do not need a college degree to do that. The fucking dumb bent who, I have a degree in dramaturgy and my lifelong goal is to go to graduate school. Right? You do not need a fucking college diploma to type things into Google. These jobs do not require this thing now where everything you need a college education to do it. And you've, especially you women, you've bought into this shit. And you think that just somehow magically just getting the college diploma makes your life better. You know, then you see these studies. Well, the average earnings of college graduates are better than the average earnings of high school grad. Yes, average. So once again, we've got this CEO who made $3 billion last year. When you average that, okay, with all the college graduates who work as baristas, yes, that average is going to be more than the average of people who graduated from high school and stopped there. I can believe that. That's why... Yeah, you sit here and say, well, a college education, you make more money. Well, yeah, kind of. Once again, though, if just going to college means you're going to make more money, explain all the people who can't pay off their college loans. This is the beauty of averages. Averages are a good way to lie. Let's talk about particulars. Because as you, the holder of your worthless degree and your student loan, as you go through life, you are not going to be an average. you're going to be a particular. There are roughly 44 million Americans in debt to their educations. Their average bill is $32,731. Do the math. We can't do math because math is oppressive to women. Do the math, and the country's total school debt is a staggering $1.4 trillion. That's more than the annual salaries of everyone who lives in Australia combined. I'm not sure why the writer is picking on Australia. I mean, you gotta leave those little Australians alone now. They can't help it. All of which raises some obvious but often unexplored questions. I wonder how unexplored these questions are. I wonder if we've ever talked about them on Stating the Obvious. I bet we have. Who is getting rich off student loans? Where does all that money go? Oh yeah, we have talked about those things. Who's getting rich and where does the money go? Well, it goes to the colleges and it goes to the banks. How is this not obvious? To the colleges and universities and all the diplomas they issue, in part. What? Where does all that money go? To the colleges and universities and all the diplomas they issue, in part. The money doesn't go to the diplomas, you moron. The money does go to the colleges and the universities, but money doesn't go to diplomas. A diploma is a piece of... fuck. But a generation ago, Congress changed the student aid system to give private companies a piece of the action and shrink the government's role in the process. Now, at this point, this is where all the people come out and say, see, it's deregulation. Deregulation is the problem. It's deregulation. The result has been an enormous financial windfall for Wall Street and beyond. Now, just about everyone in the industry makes money off students. Oh, you mean as opposed to before, where nobody was making money off of students? Were the colleges not making money in the past? The banks, private investors, and even the one group Congress wanted to push out of the financial aid business, the federal government. Yes, because of course we know Congress is always looking for ways to ensure the government of the United States makes less money. And the profits keep rolling in. Student loan debt generally grows by some $80 billion a year. And this is a good thing because I think at some point, maybe this will get big enough that it will collapse some portion of the economy. This is not what President Lyndon B. Johnson envisioned when he signed the Higher Education Act of 1965. Before the law, Americans who wanted to go to college had to finance it themselves. Oh my God, the oppression. If you wanted to go to college, you had to pay for it yourself. You see, we couldn't have that, could we? Oh no. That meant paying out of their own pockets, you know, for those of you not smart enough to know what financing it themselves means. Because this is the large print edition of Reader's Digest, and it's geared at stupid old people. You know, old people with their 60, 70, 80 years of life experience and voting and all this other stuff. So we have to make sure we dumb it down in case they don't know what it means to finance it yourself. We'll explain that that means paying for it out of your own pocket. That meant paying out of their own pockets, securing scholarships, or taking out expensive private loans. After the bill, students could go to a bank for a less costly student loan guaranteed by the government. That's great. So we have the free market saying that if you want to borrow money, this is what it costs to borrow money. But then the government hops in and says, oh, but see, this is for college. This is for education. So we'll loan you money at a lower rate. So we'll hop in there and interfere with the free market in so much as there's a free market when you have fiat currency. And then, of course, we'll eventually blame all the problems that escalate from that interference on deregulation. So remember, the deregulation is the problem, even though it's not overtly stated. That's the subtext. But the deregulation of all of this started with a concept and institution that didn't exist until the government hopped in and started interfering. Because, my God, we can't have people having to figure out how to pay for their own fucking college education. Right? Because any college education is good. And if everybody goes to college, everything will be better. Right? This whole notion, if you just going to college makes everything better. Johnson said, quote, "This nation could never rest while the door to knowledge remained closed to any American," unquote. Oh, that sounds so fucking leftist and touchy-feely and SJW-ish. The nation could never rest while the door to knowledge remained closed to any American. Oh, that sounds so good. Means so nothing. What about retarded kids? Everybody should be able to go to college. Why? Everybody doesn't need. And of course, this is being sold to you by the people who make money when you go to college, right? The colleges are the ones telling you, everybody needs a college education. If you go to college, you're going to make more money. Look, on average, college-educated people make more money on average. All of this propaganda about how everybody needs a college education, it's just advertising for the people who make money when you get a college education, right? In 1972, Congress created the Student Loan Marketing Association, or Sallie Mae. And we always give these things these cutesy names like Sallie Mae. We don't want to give them names like organization that will indebt you for the rest of your future. Right. What if all these government organizations had honest names? Right? The Department of Spying on American Citizens. The Department of Give the Federal Government Money Simply Because You Exist or We Will Put You Into a Cage. Anyone remember when the Department of Defense was very honestly called the Department of War? And I got to refill the Alice in Wonderland coffee mug with my last dose of coffee here. All right, there we go. Also need a big chug of water. Hang on. Remember, boys and girls, stay hydrated. You're going to need that hydration when you're doing your double shift at Starbucks because you have 6 years of college where you majored in women's studies with a minor in sociology. And comfortable shoes. Be sure for graduation, buy yourself some comfortable shoes because you're going to need those when you're working the overnight shift at Walmart stocking the shelves. Blah, blah, blah. Sallie Mae, a quasi-governmental agency whose mission was to increase the... Remember, the problem is deregulation, not government interference. Right? The government creating Sallie Mae has nothing to do with the problem. But deregulation, that's the problem. Sallie Mae, a quasi-governmental agency whose mission was to increase the amount of money available to borrow for higher education, because we can't just let the free market do this. No, of course not. We need the government to interfere in how much money is being funneled into people going to college. Banks loaned money to students, and Sallie Mae bought the federally backed loans from the banks, freeing them up to lend more money. Well, yes! Let's free the banks up to lend more money. See, obviously the problem here is deregulation. The government creates an agency that buys loans from banks so the banks can loan more money. Because we wouldn't want any limits on how much money the banks can loan out, would we? No, of course not. We wouldn't want the banks to be limited in the amount of money they can loan by, I don't know, the money supply, the economy. God forbid we had something like a gold standard. No, fuck no. We just want to fucking shit that fiat currency into the goddamn economy as fast as we can and put people in debt they can't pay off so that we can fucking kill people in foreign countries with missiles launched from flying robots. That's the fucking priority here, right? But when lawmakers turned Sallie Mae into a private company in 1996, it gained the authority to make its own loans, both federal ones guaranteed by the government, and more profitable private loans, which commanded higher interest rates and came without governmental guarantees or restrictions. And hey, while we're doing this, let's have all the loans made by this organization the government created guaranteed by the government. Which, of course, we all know when we say guaranteed by the government, we mean guaranteed by the taxpayers, right? But remember, the problem is deregulation, not the government's formation of this organization to begin with. No, that's totally fucking okay. The problem is always deregulation. Once only a facilitator of loans, Sallie Mae became a profiteer. Oh my God. Profiteer. They're making profits. Now see, this is truly evil. When you make profits. We can't have this organization that didn't exist until the government created it. And didn't have any power till the government gave it that power. We can't have that organization making profit. You see, profit is evil. Profit is terrible. And that's why I don't have any sympathy for those of you who work at Starbucks part-time and have to pay your student loans. Because guys, profit is bad. Right? All good socialists know that profit is a bad thing. Evil capitalists make profit. You shouldn't be making any profit. You should be just barely making enough money to live. Because anything, any money you earn, not that you're earning it, any money that you're given by Starbucks, because you're essentially a charity case, beyond what it takes for you to pay your student loan and pay your taxes and then pay your rent and buy food, any money beyond that, that's profit, and profit is evil. I mean, you just had 6 years of college. You should know that. And it did what it could to maximize those profits. Oh my God. It tried to maximize profits. Oh my God. It's terrible. It paid a New Jersey agency some $14 million to market Sallie Mae to colleges as their preferred campus loan provider. It paid college loan officers to serve as consultants on its advisory boards. It placed its own employees in university call centers, which couldn't happen unless the universities were corrupt, to field questions from students who thought they were getting advice from college loan officers. Eventually, the business of collecting premiums and penalty fees was also consolidated under Sallie Mae's very large umbrella. But remember, the problem is deregulation. freed from governmental control. See, there, the deregulation is the thing. Now that the government has created this monster, it was totally fine until it was freed from governmental control. Because when the government was controlling it, everything was perfect. Because we know when the government controls things, everything works out great. Freed from governmental control, the government became a juggernaut. In 2014, it spun off most of its student loan business into a new company, Navient. And today's Sallie Mae handles only private loans. The most telltale sign of the company's success, CEO Albert Lord. There's a nice sounding name. I'm Albert Lord. CEO Albert Lord received pay in stock totaling hundreds of millions of dollars before he retired in 2013. Right, and Albert Lord has a college education. And this is what I'm saying. You take Albert Lord, who made hundreds of millions of dollars, and you average him with all the college students working at Starbucks and Walmart, and that's how you can sit here and say with a straight face that college graduates on average earn more than high school average. High school graduates. Good God, I can't talk. Meanwhile, cash-starved states cut back funding to public universities. Gee, wonder why they're cash-starved. Federal government sucking up money, shitty economy, fiat currency, taxation. Anyway, we won't go into all that. In turn, schools had to charge more to make up the deficit. Because, of course, schools can't figure out how to fire unnecessary people, streamline their systems, stop offering worthless degrees, stop building football stadiums, right? CSU, here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, just built a brand new football stadium. They had a perfectly good stadium, but it wasn't good enough because it wasn't on campus. Right, when you got money to build a football stadium. And I mean, guys, like I look at CSU and I see just the amount of shit. And you've got to have infrastructure, I get it. And I still know people who work there. If you're new to the podcast, I worked at Colorado State University for 8 years. I have very intimate knowledge of what goes on over there, and I can spend days talking about it. The system's a waste of money inherent in the system, yada, 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 yada. But if you just look at number one, the number of employees that really serve no purpose, and you look at number two, and this is something I bitch about in every fucking aspect of life all the time, just the amount of shit, right? It's like, well, we got to have CSU paper plates for the picnic. I mean, really? You really had to spend money on that? You can't just go to Walmart and buy some paper plates. You know, the other thing, well, we have CSU plastic cups, and we got to spend money. Oh, we got to buy CSU decals and put in everything. It's just like, ooh, it's our school spirit and shit. Okay, and you take all the money for all of that, and you add it up. Well, these paper plates, they only cost $700. Okay, yeah, this one time. Add all this shit up, guys. Hang on. My voice is going out. You take all these little expenditures and you add them up and they get bigger. But addition is math, and we can't do math because math is oppressive to the women's. There are so many opportunities to reduce the amount of money that's being spent. Right, we got to pay for statues. I keep meaning to take a picture of this and put it on the website for you guys to see. They built this new health center at CSU. Because, of course, the CSU students can't just go to the fucking hospital down the road or any of the clinics in Tendo. They have to have their own special health center where they can get free abortions and free birth control and stuff. Well, free. I said the word free. Where they can get taxpayer-backed, financed, supported, guaranteed abortions and birth control. And outside of this health center, there's a statue of what I call the gay ram. Because Colorado State University, their mascot, their mascot is a ram. And this ram is standing there with his back legs on a rock and he's got his ass up in the air. And it looks like he's being like, someone fuck me in the ass. And I'm like, there it is. That is the mascot of the Colorado State University student. A gay ram that wants to have somebody shove a giant cock into its butt. Anyway, how did I get... Oh, because the universities, they need more money. Because God forbid they cut their fucking expenses. God forbid they stop buying shit. Meanwhile, cash-starved states cut back funding to public universities. In turn, schools had to charge more to make up the deficit. The average annual cost of tuition, fees, and room and board at American colleges and universities rocketed. Unlike the economy, the cost rocketed from $4,563 in 1985 to $21,728 in 2015, an increase of about 13% a year. Over the same 30-year period, wages rose 6% annually at most. If state governments had continued to support public higher education at the rate they did in 1980, in other words, if state governments would have continued to steal money from taxpayers at the rate they did in 1980, they would have invested at least an additional $500 billion in their university systems. Like how it's an investment. See, it's an investment. And that's part of the way that this whole line of bullshit is sold. It's an investment. Except it's not an investment if you can't get a fucking decent job with it. Okay? Your college education is not a fucking investment if you work as a barista after you graduate. According to data research from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. That's roughly the amount of outstanding debt now held by those who enrolled in public colleges and universities. The federal government holds more than 90% of the $1.4 trillion in outstanding student loans, either as the original lender or the backer, making the Department of Education effectively one of the world's largest banks. Private lenders, including Wells Fargo, SunTrust, and other big banks, hold the rest. By DOE's own calculations, the government earns as much as 20% on each of its loans. The profit arises from the government's ability to borrow money at a low rate and lend it to students at a higher rate. Gosh! Remember, the problem is deregulation. The problem has nothing to do with the government being able to borrow money at a low rate and then lend it to students at a high rate. And the problem certainly has nothing to do with people being dumb enough to take out loans to go to college to get degrees in things like communications or feminist studies or English or dramaturgy or artist management. The federal loans issued between 2007 and 2012 were projected to generate $66 billion in income for the government, according to a 2014 report from the Government Accountability Office. In 2013, Congress lowered the interest rate for incoming student borrowers, yet refused to extend the same benefits to more than 40 million Americans who had already borrowed for their educations. Quote, the United States government turns young people who are trying to get an education because they don't know how to go on YouTube and learn things that way. Oh, so that's not in here. Quote, the United States government turns young people who are trying to get an education into profit centers to bring in more revenue for the federal government, unquote. Senator Elizabeth Warren said on the Senate floor in 2016. Quote, this is obscene. The federal government should not be helping students. Wait, the federal government should be helping students get an education, not making a profit off their backs. Unquote. Because yes, it's up to the government to help you get an education, because you certainly can't get an education by yourself, can you? You're completely fucking helpless. Now, this is fascinating. So Senator Elizabeth Warren says that it is obscene for the government to turn young people trying to get an education into profit centers to make revenue. I wonder if she has a problem with turning people who have jobs and actually produce things, actually create value for other people. I wonder if she has a problem with turning them into profit centers via the income tax. Hearing Senator Elizabeth Warren talking about how it's obscene that the federal government is making money off the poor little students. Hell, I don't know. Maybe if you're... Hey, why should you get money from the federal government and the federal government not make money on that? I find it far more obscene that the rest of us have to pay for these student loans, that the taxpayers are on the fucking hook for this. I find the income tax far more obscene, the fact that you have to pay money to the government. I mean, my God, okay, so these fucking kids who take out the loans, or adults, whoever takes out the loan, I mean, you're getting money from the government, which is actually my money because the government doesn't have any money. But why shouldn't you have to pay for receiving this money as a loan from the government, as opposed to the income tax, where you're out here, you're minding your own business, you go over there, you create value for other people, the people appreciate the value you created for them, they give you some money in payment, and now you have to give the government a portion of the money you just earned by creating value, even though the government didn't do a fucking thing. How is that not obscene? No, we're not finished yet. There's more. I'll do that in the next episode.